probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately. But did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers. This one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Christian parenting.
This is Cynthia Yanoff, and you're listening to Pardon the Mess. Each week, we have honest discussions about the ups and downs of parenting and the lessons God is teaching us along the way. It's real, it's fun, and it's biblical. Life is messy. Don't walk the parenting road alone. As we kick it off today, I want to tell you about a really cool book you need to buy. Because if you're a mother, or you have a mother, or you even know a mother, any of those things, then you're going to love this, because Leslie Means is the founder of a popular website called Her View from Home. And she has put together a powerful and emotional collection of essays from women of all stages and ages in her latest book called So God Made a Mother. So these are real life, straight to the heart stories that are going to make us laugh and cry and nod and all the things. And so it's now available. Go check it out. It's called So God Made a Mother. You can find it on herviewfromhome.com. Hey guys, welcome to Pardon the Mess. It's Cynthia Yanoff, and I'm glad you're joining us today. We are talking about a topic that is hard very often, and that's caring for our aging parents. And this is an important topic because a lot of us are already doing that, and a lot of us are going to be doing that in the near future. And so I'm thankful that my friend Sarah Smith is here. She's a friend of mine here in Dallas, and she just has this testimony, probably an unwanted testimony, but a testimony of how the Lord has used her mom's diagnosis of early onset Alzheimer's. And the Lord has taken it and used it for amazing things. She wrote a book about it called Broken Beauty. It's been out many years, and I've been kind of watching Sarah's story on Instagram and just how the Lord has used this book for so many amazing purposes. She's been on national media outlets, I mean, all over the place. And I just know that it's a reminder that God uses the hard things, the places where maybe we are like, why? This isn't fair. This isn't right. He uses these things for his glory. And so we take that testimony and we allow him to be a vessel in our lives. And nobody has done that better than Sarah through her mom's illness. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we love our parents well? What works? What doesn't? And then I just encourage you to listen all the way through, because near the end of the podcast, she just talks about how through this illness, her dad has fallen more in love with her mom in a way that wasn't there when she was well. And it's beautiful. And I tear up thinking about it even now. And so I'm just grateful to have Sarah Smith with us. Here we go. Hey, Sarah Smith, welcome to Pardon the Mess. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Cynthia.
Well, thank you for being here. You and I know each other, because we've gone to church for a long time. So this is super fun that I get to talk to you.
I know. I can't believe it. It's great. I know.
Back in the day, we went to the same church together for a long time. And now you and I were just talking before. We both have a kiddo at the University of Texas in college. And all of that and all the adjustments. I mean, that sending these kids to college is not for the weak, right?
It is not for the weak. I can't get over the adjustments for her, and also just for me and Thad. I mean, it is, and even for her siblings, not having her in the house, it is just adjustments all the way around.
It is. It is. And I knew it would be, but I don't think, you just don't know till you know, I think is part of it. But there's something that you and I were both saying before that I want to say as we're taping this and for people to hear this, because I don't think I knew this going in, and I don't think people are completely transparent maybe about this, but that first year is really hard. It's good, but it's really hard. And you and I were talking this for our kids. I'm talking about the kid in college. And maybe, and we both have firstborn girls that are only ones that have gone so far to college. And I know, and I think I probably said this before, but I know, like, looking on social and stuff, it looked like all of my kids' friends and all the families, like, everybody's had all these, they had made all these friends. Yeah. And there's, you know, this kid with 20 new girls they had met, and it's all fun and all this. And meanwhile, I'm sitting by, I'm like, oh, we're struggling. This is hard. And so I guess you were saying y'all had the same experience. So I would just love for you to just encourage people too, and just say, like, if you're sending one and it's rough, we get it. If you haven't sent one, be prepared. It might not be, but any thoughts on that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's so funny you say that, because I think one of my least favorite questions this past semester has been, is your daughter just loving UT? And I have to be honest, I'm like, no, she's not just loving it. Is she happy to be there and she's at her dream school? Yes. But it has been a huge adjustment. And, you know, she's not only left the house, she's living on her own. She's, you know, making new friends, like we talked about. She's also feeling like she needs to go out all the time in order to meet friends. And then she's our very studious child. So she's sitting here going, why am I not studying and my academics are on the back burner and I can't, just everything's out of sorts. It's just been really hard. I was actually texting with someone yesterday who has a daughter that's going to be attending UT in the fall. And I connected Friendsley and I and the mom, and we're going to try to go to lunch. But I told her mom, I said, look, it's a huge adjustment. I'm just going to be honest. And I feel like Friendsley, she's so honest about it, and she'd be a great person for her daughter to talk to. And I really do wish people were more open and authentic, because I have talked to some moms who have said, you know, when I will say, she's not just loving it, it's an adjustment. Mm-hmm. Then they go, oh my gosh, my daughter called me crying yesterday. I'm like, why are you asking me if she loves it? You know, I think there's so many people out there that are going through the same thing. And it's just, I guess we're just a little bit afraid to share the whole truth. And I wish people would share more of the whole truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also we build this up, and I've been guilty of saying this, but like, college is the best years of your life. And everyone says that to your kid. Although I will say, I don't think college were the best years of my life, but for most people they say they were. And, but I think they have that pressure too of like, well, these are supposed to be the best years, and this doesn't feel like anything close to my best year. And so just to normalize that, I don't know, that might be a future podcast, Sarah Smith, you, Friendsley, me, and Kate Yanoff. Yes! And we talk about, like, anyone.
Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing.
Freshman year, here you go.
Let's do it.
For college,
let's
but do it. Okay. Be great. Well, I mean, it's only apropos that I bring up college, because at the same time, for many of us that were sending our kids to college and we're adjusting through all of that, most of us are also in a phase of life where we're starting to see our parents are aging. And so we're working through that adjustment too. And so I was thinking about that with you and everyone. Here's a little background. I mentioned a little bit in the intro, but Sarah has written a book. It's called Broken Beauty, and it's all about her mama. And it's, how long's the book been out?
It was published in 2019.
Okay. So it's been out several years. And I've wanted to talk to Sarah about this for a long time, because she's been on all kinds of cool places. The Lord just opened all kinds of doors for you to be like focused on the family and, I don't know, NBC or all kinds of crazy places you've been invited to speak on this. But it is, it's just such a real issue of like, how do we steward this well as our parents are aging? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's when our kids are, you know, in a really hard stage of life too, maybe junior high, high school, early college, and we're trying to work through that, and we're trying to do it all well, and it's overwhelming. And you have so beautifully spoken into it and been like, yeah, it's real hard, but we can do this because we love the Lord. And so let's just say that. Let's start with that huge introduction. And just one, will you say, tell us a little bit about your family, but then also just a little bit about your mom's story as we work through this.
Yes. Okay. So I'm married. We have three children. Like you said, our oldest is a freshman at UT. We have a junior daughter in high school, and we have a seventh grade son. I've been married for 20 years this past summer. I'm from Houston originally. Thad is from Dallas. And my parents lived in Houston when my mom was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. She was diagnosed officially at the age of 67. However, she had had different neurological symptoms, not that we thought it was Alzheimer's, but just some other symptoms that we weren't sure what they were. And it took her at least 2 or 3 years to get her to a doctor. She did not love going to doctors. And by the time she got all of her PET scans and did her short-term tests, long-term tests, they said she had had it for a while. So early onset is really 65 or younger. And so when she was diagnosed, it's been, gosh, she's actually outlived. The doctors gave her 5 to 7 years, and she was diagnosed at 67. She turned 78 this July, praise God. And it's just been, it was a really very challenging time because our kids were young. We had them, they were in middle school and elementary at the time, and trying to balance being a wife, being a daughter, being a mother, being a sister, being an in-law, you know, all the things. It's really hard. Really, really hard.
Okay. So as your mom, as you're getting this diagnosis and you realize all that's going on with your mom, like in your mind, like what's your state of mind at that point? Are you like, okay, well, we got this, we're all in, or is it like this fear and dread, or like, what did that look like those first couple of years when you officially had a diagnosis? And I assume you're starting to see a decline even more so.
Well, it was really difficult because I was living in Dallas and she was still in Houston. So when we got the diagnosis, all I wanted to do was be in Houston. Yeah. I was terrified. I was confused. Never even heard of early onset Alzheimer's. I got on my computer and started Googling, trying to find all the information I could, like we do with everything. And I was concerned for my dad. I was extremely worried about how my mom would handle it. She's very strong-willed and stubborn, always has been, and independent. Amazing woman of faith, love the Lord. So I was never concerned about her trust in God through this process. However, I was super concerned about her being in denial of the diagnosis and how she would deal with it, and if she would go get a second opinion, or, you know, would she ask for help? Would she take medication? So I think I was in denial for a little while, but also just in complete pain and just really so, so shocked that I wanted to just go home and just be with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I couldn't because I'm here, you know, taking care of my own family. So initially, it was really difficult because all I wanted to do was just be there and help with whatever I could. She and my dad were very involved with their church, and they had an incredible community there. So my concern was, dad has no family there, but they have a lot of friends. So how can family help? Mm-hmm. But then the other, on the flip side, dad was concerned that friends may treat them differently because a lot of people don't know how to handle the disease. They don't know what to do, and you feel helpless, and they did not want to be treated differently. And as a matter of fact, they didn't tell anyone about the diagnosis for a while. She was involved with the Bible study, and dad would start filling in her Bible study answers, that he would do the writing because she couldn't write very well. And really just try to cover up and protect her. And so I think a combination of that, and then hearing from me and my brothers, and then him watching mom's, you know, the disease get more and more progressive, and she got more and more aggressive and volatile and just very anxious, paranoid. He needed help, and he's not one to ask for help. And yeah. I think that may be a generational thing too, but he just really wanted to take care of her all by himself. And he also didn't want to burden our families.
Yeah.
But we just begged him, please move to Dallas. And so they ended up moving.
And again, for everyone listening, we're talking obviously specifically about dementia in this situation, but really just caring for parents in general is where we really want to land on this.
What I wish had done differently is that dad had told people right away or much sooner, including us, including his children. They kept the diagnosis from us for a little while because they didn't want to burden our family and they didn't want us to worry. And especially me being the only daughter, very close to my mom, he didn't want me to worry. So I think that is the one thing, and probably in hindsight too, my dad and I've talked about it, is just seeking more help earlier on and being open and communicating and doing your research and asking people, you know, whatever it is, whether it be Alzheimer's, cancer, heart disease, do your research, ask people who maybe have walked this road. Don't be afraid to reach out and feel vulnerable. I mean, you know, it's hard to be vulnerable, but when you do that, you find out that there's so many more people out there that are going through the same journey or a similar journey, and it builds community around you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm jumping in here for just a minute to tell you about a book about mothers. If you have a mother, if you are a mother, if you know a mother, any of these things, then you're going to want to check it out. Leslie Means, she's the founder of a very popular website called Her View from Home, and she has put together this book, and it's weaving together powerful stories and essays of women from all ages and stages. It's called So God Made a Mother. And so these are real life, straight to the heart stories that are going to make us laugh and cry and nod along and all the things, because I think we all know there's no two experiences of motherhood that are exactly the same. Just something powerful happens when our stories come together, and they're going to speak love and worth and value and beauty. And that's what this book does. And so go learn more about it, herviewfromhome.com. All right, we've spoken to the moms. Now let's speak to the dads out there. Do you have questions about spiritual leadership or prayer or marriage or parenting? Well, thankfully, Jared Lopes, the host of the Dad Tired podcast, he is answering guys' most asked questions on how to love and lead your family well. He's got a new book out. It's called The Dad Tired Q&A Mixtape. I love that name. So make the Q&A Mixtape your go-to guide for spiritual growth as a husband, father, and a man of God. You can get this Dad Tired Q&A Mixtape wherever books are sold, and check out the Dad Tired podcast on all the popular audio streaming platforms. I think there's got to be challenges, obviously, as you're working through this, right? So you're working through the process of a diagnosis, and I've heard you say that one of the pitfalls can be trying to use logic. I think that's a normal pitfall, is like trying to bring our parents into the reality we're in, and that's not always the case that they're still in that reality. Maybe another one is just having expectations that our parents just, they can't meet anymore as they're aging. We want them to be them or their old selves. What are some of the pitfalls that you fell into or that you see people fall into with aging parents?
Well, I think with aging parents, they fall into isolation for sure. They try to do things on their own. We're trying to be logical with someone who can't be logical.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult. And then you also want to try to put yourself in their shoes and finding the balance of respecting your parents as well and their decisions, but also knowing that we do have more information out there. We do have more help out there. And so how to present that to them in a logical way where they'll listen and be open to it. So it's really hard, because they just, it also just depends on their personality, Cynthia. You know, with my mom being so stubborn, and my dad is the most humble servant and promised to be her sole caretaker, he's so committed to their vows. So you also had in my situation particularly that, you know, he's going to take care of her through sickness and in health. So he was feeling like he was a failure if he wasn't doing things the way he thought he should, or if I presented him with something else. So it's really hard. I mean, all I could do in my particular situation is I literally had to pray every morning. I prayed every morning that the Lord would renew my mind and help me to discern his will and discern what to say to my parents. And I feel like that, the more I shared with my dad and the more open I was in a loving and patient and kind way, not questioning his authority, not questioning his decisions, but presenting other possibilities or, you know, in a way that wasn't making him feel like he was making a wrong decision. It seemed to open him up more to listening and maybe going, oh, or you're, you know, saying, maybe we should try that. Without feeling like you're attacking them, because it can be really hard when we see something one way and they see it a different way, but it's all about how you present it and communicate it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Being willing to have those hard conversations, but doing it in a way that it keeps the relationship intact and doesn't seem accusatory and all of those things. I think that's important. You talk about how at some point your dad really did just come to the end of his rope, and just he was kind of at a breaking point. And you said something, I've heard you say this, I think is so important. You talked about how you realized that Jill were going to need more significant help, and that she was going to need a memory care facility of some sort. And I know you felt this, but I know so many people feel this, like that's the give up. That's the, I guess that's like almost the act of, this isn't a word, but dislove towards your loved one to actually consider a place that can care for them more fully. Speak into that. And what did that feel like and look like? And now you're on the other side of this by many years. And what would you say?
Well, I would say, depending on the situation, in our situation, we were actually able to love mom even more by placing her. This is not something that my dad ever thought he would do. And as a matter of fact, I would say he was probably against doing it. But the one promise he made my mom, he did not promise her he would never place her. He promised her he would give her the best care possible, that he would take care of her to the best of his ability. And it got to the breaking point where he could not do it anymore. We tried hiring caregivers. We tried to keep her at home. We did everything possible. I mean, I could share with you lie after lie that we would say to her to get a caregiver in the house without it being labeled a caregiver. But she would set their purse outside. She would kick people out of the house and just, she wasn't having it. So, but she became a danger to herself. And when you get to the point where, when I saw my dad aging, I truly saw him aging. I saw how exhausted he was. He was not sleeping. And then when you're at the house and your dad is in the kitchen just washing dishes and my mom is in the bathroom, and we had removed all sharp items, but she had found there's a pair of scissors in the back of a drawer trying to cut a mole out of her chest. It's this realization of, I can't do it all. We are not created to do everything all the time. It's like having a toddler.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we go put we don't want them to stick their finger in the light sockets. We cover the plugs. We pick up the Lego pieces from the older sibling because we don't want our crawler to put a Lego in their mouth. It's the same thing with, you know, and especially with specifically speaking to an Alzheimer's dementia patient, their age is reversing. So they're going back to the toddler phase and you're just getting older. So my dad's only getting older and he's trying to take care of someone that just, you can't teach her a lesson. You can't say, no, don't do that, because her short-term memory is gone. And so then she doesn't remember. So speaking into placement for us, it was the best thing we could have ever done. It was so the Lord, we had to get to a place of surrender. It was full surrender. My dad had to say, you know, I fully surrender my wife to you, God, and I am trusting you with my most valuable asset you've given me, that you have caregivers provided for her and that you're going to keep her safe. And I promised her I would take great care of her. And this is the only way he could do it.
Yeah.
And I think when he got permission from us, his children, it really, it just brought a different peace and his perspective changed. And then once it happened and we could go, he was there every single day.
Yeah.
Every day he was there. And then we were able to bring our kids to be around her and she was safe. We didn't have to worry about her wandering off. So, you know, I understand it's a very hard decision, but you're not giving up on your loved one by placing them at all.
Yeah.
And for us, it was, if we're going to place her, we're going to make sure we go see her and spend time with her. We're not going to give up on her. Her life still matters. Their lives are still worthy of our attention. No matter what stage of any disease of our parents, heart disease, whatever it is, their lives are worthy of our attention and their dignity matters. And that is what we wanted to teach our children as well. So wherever they are, you value them and you treat them in the way you would treat them if they were at home. They're just in a different place, but you still want to be able to love them and just wrap your arms around them and be with them and spend time with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. What did the Lord teach you? What is he teaching you through all of this? I mean, I know you could take 2 hours on that, but
yeah, I could.
What has the Lord taught you?
Well, for sure to choose joy. I have to choose joy. I see myself more as capable and equipped for what God is calling me to do. I have more trust in his provision. I have seen him be so faithful in times that truly I just thought there was no solution. He provides every need, for every burden, no matter how small or how big. And there's purpose in our pain. And if you can change your perspective and see that there's purpose in the pain, that there can be beauty in the brokenness, the opportunities that open up are profound. And the blessings that our family has received, I've watched my older brother go through some forgiveness with my mom through her disease. They've had some reconciliation. He restores broken hearts. He's matured my faith through the trauma. And one of my biggest things is I've been able to partake in the patience of Jesus. Being patient is one of my most difficult struggles. I mean, you want instant gratification. You want to fix things. You want to control things. And it really just being patient with the Lord is so worth the wait, because what he provides when you get through the other side is just beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Choose joy. What a beautiful word. And that, speaking of that, I love your Instagram because I love how often you post pictures of or videos of you and your mom and a lot of times dancing. Tell me about that. I know why, but tell everybody else. It's beautiful.
Okay. So first of all, my mom was a Kilgore Rangerette. So she's just total dancer at heart. I cheered it in college and loved to dance. I mean, I could dance. You play me a good song right now, I might get up on my, desk and start dancing. I just love music. And music actually really, really turns on a part of the brain, and it helps stimulate people with Alzheimer's and dementia. So my mom loves music. So we would go, we'd see her in memory care. We would dance every single day because that's what brought her joy and it's what made her happy. And it's so funny because my mom used to beg my dad to dance at weddings, and he just would not want to get up in front of people and dance. And I mean, after a year of being in memory care, my dad is out there dancing with her every day during their quote unquote happy hour with our piano player, Denny. And then he's dancing with other residents. And that's just another example of how the Lord showed us that there was so much love to be found from the memory care facility and from having mom there. And we just had no idea that there could be so much joy and beauty after placing her. Yeah. And my dad has been able to love her in ways that he's never been able to love her before. And it's bittersweet and it's sad because the disease has progressed. But honestly, my mom's stubbornness has gone away and he's able to love on her in ways he couldn't before because she may not have had that, and just push him away or I'm too busy or I don't need that. And it's just been so beautiful for him because he's fallen in love with a whole new woman again. He lost the woman he married, but he would say he's fallen in love all over again. It makes me tear up.
I'm tearing up.
He's fallen in love all over again with this new woman with this disease. And it has been the most awesome example for us children and our grandchildren. And I just see, serving our parents and the elderly so differently. Even the homeless. I mean, Emery, our junior, helped serve the homeless, and she's gone to Camp Barnabas for special mm-hmm. needs. Just serving in general, it just brings so much love and light into the world, and it helps heal a broken world. Mm. And if you can be the hands and feet of Jesus and just show up, it's just getting there. We just have to show up. Once you show up, God does everything else. Mm. You know, yeah. You've probably heard this quote. Is it Joni Tada?
Yeah, I love her. She's been on the show a few times. Joni if y'all, Tada. Yeah, if you've missed it, y'all need to go back and listen. She's amazing.
I heard her speak, and I cling to this so often. God allows what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me throughout. It has stuck with me throughout this whole journey.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him accomplish things mm-hmm. that are so incredible. And I've just loved seeing what it's done for our children too. You know, Cynthia, one thing too, just serving our parents and serving the elderly. We can't be afraid to expose our kids.
Right.
I think sometimes as parents, we are afraid to expose them to their grandparents being sick, and we don't want them to be sad. Or I was afraid that my mom was going to say something she shouldn't say to our kids, which she did. There were several times that that happened. But what is so neat is for the kids to see and learn and understand, in her case, that, okay, so that's the disease speaking. That's mm-hmm. not my grandmother.
Yeah.
And so they're able to differentiate between the illness and the heart of the person. And they're able to focus on her heart. They're able to focus on their grandmother and who they love, who, you know, with or without this disease. And I think it's the case with anyone's parents that are going through something. Don't be afraid for your kids to see it. You know, we can shelter and protect them. And, you know, there are things that are age appropriate, but they need to know that life is hard.
Yeah.
And this is the cycle of life. I mean, if we just protect our kids and make them think life is easy, that's a disservice to them. Mm-hmm. And I just think them learning how, or them watching their parents and watching us cope through our suffering with faith is a huge lesson, huge life lesson for them.
Well, that's beautiful and so encouraging. And so your book is called Broken Beauty, and it's in all the usual spots, right? Amazon, wherever. Is that right?
Yes,
okay.
It is. Yes.
So you guys need to read that. It's so good. Are there other places that you found support, things that you would point people to that were helpful to you?
So I did get involved a little bit with the Alzheimer's Association, and that was great. And honestly, just doing the walk to end Alzheimer's, I did that for about 4 or 5 years, and my friends came around and did it with us, and our daughter, and that was really great, because I think if you can find the community with whatever you're going through, whether it be cancer or heart or, you know, whatever it is, if you can find other people out there that are going through the similar journey, it really does make you feel like you're not alone and you're not isolated. Because I felt really alone. And then when I got out to the walk to end Alzheimer's, there were like thousands of people, and it was just so overwhelming. And I just think that that's really, really important. And then not being afraid to reach out to your friends for prayers and for help. I had a friend wanted to do a care sign up for meals when we placed my mom. And I thought she was a little crazy, because I was like, my mom hasn't passed away. I mean, I'm going to be fine. But I really wasn't fine. I was actually in complete despair and depressed for 6 weeks. And I couldn't even see her for 6 weeks after I placed her. Mm. And she called me and she said, I just need you to say yes. I just need you to say yes, because there's a lot of people that want to help and they don't know how to help.
Yeah.
And if we don't allow people to help, we're also stealing joy from them. So she really opened my eyes, and it actually has impacted me in huge ways. Now, when I want to serve others and don't know how to help them, it brings joy for us to help someone, whether it be to drop off a meal, whether it be to text scripture, or send a song. Mm-hmm. I got so much of that from friends. And then it just allowed me to be more and more open with my situation yeah. and specific prayer requests. So I just think seeking the help of your friends and family and not be afraid of asking for help. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, Sarah, you're the best. Thanks for being willing to chat with us about this and being just so open with your journey. And if people want to keep up with you or catch up with you or kind of see some of the sweet things you do, is Instagram the best place to catch you?
Yes, I think so. I will be honest with you. I haven't posted as much on it's Beauty in IM, Beauty in Alzheimer's. I have not posted as much as I used to. And I really think it's because we were in such a season that you didn't see. Mm-hmm. But yes, I still do occasionally post on Beauty and Alzheimer's, and or my other one is Sarah B. Smith 1. And I've kind of started consolidating them a little bit. It just got to be a little much. And I really found too that I was trying to balance time with our children and family. And I got a little overwhelmed with social media. But I, you know, certainly am so encouraged when I still get messages from people from one little post I put out there. And if it touches one person's life, if God is using this to touch one person, my mom loved Jesus. She shared Jesus with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I know, and I've said this in my book, that if she knew this diagnosis would bring one person to Jesus Christ, she would take it a million times over again. Mm. So if that is, you know, what this journey is for and leading people to find beauty in their brokenness and leading them to Jesus, then it's worth it all.
It's worth it all. Well, then we will end how we started. And this was unintentional, but it works. We'll end how we started. Vulnerability, authenticity, everyone, whether that's the kid in college or that's the aging parents. I think that's what we're also that know you love and have watched your journey. It's just that you've been willing to step out and speak it and say it and show it and live it with everyone else. And that what a huge encouragement that's been. And so whether that's our kids in college that are struggling yes. or our aging parents, wherever we are, if you will be authentic and vulnerable,
yes,
people will come alongside you and the Lord will use it. And so thanks for sharing yes. with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Cynthia.
A huge thank you to Sarah Smith for being with us today. And she's just a great testimony that I think we all need, that when you're walking those hard places, aging parents or anything else, that the Lord can use us in those very hard and raw times for a testimony. And so just pray the Lord to use you as a vessel. And as you walk through these places, perhaps with the aging parents, just pray that you can see them through the lens that He sees them. And then before we go, just want to let you know, if you miss Christian Parenting's 5th annual Perfectly Imperfect digital event called Every Parent Wants to Know, it's not too late. You can still go and check it out. There's so many great speakers and all of it is available through the end of the year. So just go check it out on perfectlyimperfect.org. So grateful you guys were with us today. We know your days are busy. As always, thank you for joining us as we pardon the mess.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.